God's grace and peace and mercy be to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus. His peace be with you as we now consider this word of God from Hebrews in the 10th chapter. Again we read, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, 'This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds,' then he adds, 'I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more.' Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, I don't know if you caught it there toward the end of that epistle reading, but it almost sounds like God is serving up to us today a veritable lettuce salad. He says in verse 22, "Let us draw near with a true heart." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast our confession." 24, "Let us consider how to stir one another up." Lettuce. Now, I love lettuce. Iceberg, romaine, cress. But you can't live on lettuce. Lettuce is pretty much just roughage and water. I suppose it has some nutritional value, but not enough to give you any endurance. Which is why I think in Genesis 9, verse 3, God gave Noah and his descendants not just the green plants to eat anymore, but also the cows and the chickens and the pigs and the fish and the lasagna and the Oreos. You know, all that stuff that really keeps you going. Nor can a human spirit live on a diet of "let us do this and let us do that." Because as St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, the law, which tells us to do this and that, the law is a ministry of death, carved in letters on stone. And Paul says in Romans 7, the very commandment that promised life instead proved to me to be death. A ministry that has little more to say than "let us do this and let us do that" is a ministry of death. Because it deceives us into thinking, well, maybe we can please the holy God by what we do, which Hebrews says is impossible. It's impossible to please God without faith. And yet in many churches, that's exactly the way these "let us" verses are plated up for people. As if lettuce is Christianity's main course. As if the sum and substance of our faith is that if you want to belly up to the altar, well then, let's keep our hearts true and keep our confirmation verses without screwing up. And let us keep each other on the straight and the narrow and never miss church and buck one another up, because we're running out of time as the day of Jesus Christ approaches. Let me put it to you this way. If all you eat before running a marathon is a heaping bowl of arugula and curly endive, do you think that's going to carry you for 26 grueling miles? And if all you get at church is "let us do this and let us do that," How long do you think your spirit is going to hold up in a race that is marked out for us and whose finish line is eternal life? This is a long and a grueling race that we find ourselves running. That's why the Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." And the author of Hebrews warns us of the many forces that are at work that could so easily knock us out of this race, like the sins that so easily ensnare us and weigh us down, and the trials and the problems that beset us and drain our spirits, and the discouragements that set us back, and the tragedies that knock the wind out of us. And then comes the news of yet another terror attack in France, so closely on the heels of that downed airplane. You know, every time I hear about these terror attacks, I can't help but think of what Paul wrote to Timothy about the end of times, when he said that people will be brutal. Daniel today said, they will be hard times. The day of Jesus is drawing near. And given all of the sin that is within me and everywhere around me, to run this race and to win this prize, I need more than "let us do this and let us do that." And the author of Hebrews agrees, which is why he says that as we see this day of Jesus drawing ever nearer, what we really need is encouragement. The kind of encouragement that only Jesus can give us. And so instead of this diet of "let us do this and that," the author of Hebrews writes, "Look to Jesus, who endured the cross and despised its shame, and consider Him so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted." Here is our strength and the encouragement when the race becomes difficult, that before God ever said to us, "Let us draw near with a true heart," He first drew near to us in the person of His Son, with a heart set on redeeming our lives. And before God ever said to us, "Let us hold fast the confession," He first held fast to His promise to crush the head of Satan, even at the cost of being wounded Himself. And before God ever said, "Let us stir one another up to love and good works and not neglect to meet together," He first stirred Himself up to love and good works. And He met us on our own turf to do love's greatest work, when He laid His life down for us at the cross. And that's why the author of Hebrews, before he ever talks about "let us," first directs us to Jesus and to His cross. Everything that we need to endure and to be faithful in this race comes to us from the cross of Jesus, where He offered that once-for-all sacrifice for sins forever. Here is our encouragement. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time the single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting for that time until His enemies should be made a footstool for His feet. For by a single offering He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. You see, in the Old Testament, when the priest was on duty, he was constantly standing. Because just as soon as one sacrifice was done, another person came with their sacrifice, in a never-ending stream of people coming to that smoldering altar with their sacrificial animals. Another death, another slaughter, day after day, year after year, blood and sacrifice. And yet, as we sing, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wipe away the stain. But when Christ made His sacrifice, did you hear the difference? He made it once, and then He sat down at the right hand of God to await that day when all of his enemies will become his footstool. By the single offering of his on the cross, he perfected his people of all times and places, and he established that covenant and put it into our hearts and wrote it upon our minds, by which he says to us, he will remember our sins no more or our lawless deeds. Therefore, brothers, he goes on to say, therefore, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. There's an interesting, almost a shocking word in verse 20. In the English translation, it is translated as the word new, the new and the living way that Jesus opened for us. Now, 62 times in the New Testament, the Greek word for new is the word kainos. But in this verse, this one single time in the New Testament, the Greek word for new is the word prosphaton, which literally means freshly slaughtered. So let me read that verse again to you with that translation, a more literal translation. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus and by the freshly sacrificed and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. You see? Remember when Jesus was freshly slaughtered for us, for our sins? And at that moment, as he died upon the cross, that veil in the holiest place was torn in two, signifying that we now have a way to access God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can come into his presence through the body and the blood of Jesus. And now every time you draw near to God, whether it's in your devotions or in prayers or at the sacrament or in this house of worship, in the holy assembly of believers, you are entering by that same new way, by the body of Jesus, as if it had just been freshly slaughtered for you. Of course, that sacrifice of his was 2,000 years ago, and it was but once. But his death gives you such free and unfettered access to your God that it's as if he was slaughtered for you just this morning. And that's the good news that strengthens us now for the let us part of our faith, which makes that let us part so savory. Yeah, lettuce can really be good and enjoyable. Let us draw near to God, he says. No problem. No problem, I want to do that because he drew near to us and he sprinkled us clean in the blood of his Son and washed us in our baptisms. And let us hold fast the confession of our faith, and we will do that happily because he confesses before his Father in heaven everyone who confesses him in faith. But here's the part I really like. Verse 24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Isn't that great? A key part of God's plan to keep us encouraged in the faith and stirred up in love and good works is to give us each other. And this is where so many Christians who are out of the habit of assembling for worship are so wrong. They have this selfishness about them that says, well, I don't think I'm going to get much out of it, so why should I come? As if attending church is all about me and what I get. But it's not. It's about you. And I need to be here to encourage you in this race as it drags on and as all of these evils in the world try to sidetrack us as the day of Jesus draws closer. Just this last Saturday, there was a marathon in Savannah, Georgia. where a runner by the name of Robert McCoy tripped and fell just 200 yards short of the finish line. He hit his head on the pavement. He cut up his face and his knees and his shoulder, but he wanted desperately to finish the race. And as he lay there on the pavement bleeding, he cried out, "I've got to finish the race. Please help me. I've got to finish the race." And that's when Sergeant John Kane of the Savannah Police Department stepped in. He went out onto the street and he helped that bleeding runner up off of the pavement. And he, holding his arm, he ran the remaining distance with him to get him to the finish line. Officer Kane said after that race, he said, "I knew he had some mission that he needed to accomplish. My heart bled for him." And only when it was all over did he find out that McCoy had been running that race in honor of his father, who had died of cancer just that last April. Here's a video of the finish of that race. Oops. Now do you understand why God wants us to assemble together and not to neglect being here when God's people are together? Yes, it's for me. It's what I need. But it's not just about me. It's you. And it's helping you to get to the finish line. Look around you at your fellow runners. They're bruised and they're beaten and they're bloodied. They've been tripped up. They're hurting. They need help. And God has put us together in position with one another to help each other, to encourage each other, to forgive each other, and to stir each other up to love and good works. It's a tough race that we're running. And the day of Jesus Christ is drawing nearer. So let us be here for one another, together. And together, let us come to the table of our Lord and eat His body and drink His blood and be strengthened for the next leg of the race. To my tastes, that's the best kind of let us. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.